And now, the WETL radio players are on the air. From South Bend, Indiana, it's the WETL Radio Players. Each week at this time, WETL Radio presents the finest in radio drama from the pens of the finest writers. Today we present Emily Brontë's Wuthering Heights, adapted for radio by Louis Olfson and directed by John H.B. Kaus. And now, here's Wuthering Heights.
It is many years ago that my tale takes place, and yet I remember it all as if it happened yesterday. My old master often said to me, "Nellie Dean, you do have an uncommonly memory." "Ha ha, but you're not interested in me. You want to hear my tale. The village of Gimmerton is gone now, and so is Thrushcross Grange, the home near Gimmerton, where I served one master and his lady. So is Wuthering Heights, where I served three. My tale is of one master and one mistress, Mr. Heathcliff and Mrs. Catherine Earnshaw Linton, and of the foreboding, dreary castle that was my home for many years, Wuthering Heights.
Is it almost time, Nellie? Will Papa be home soon?
Why, Hindley Earnshaw, you've asked that 20 times if you've asked it once. So you must have the same answer you've had 20 times before. He'll be here when he'll be here, and not a minute sooner.
Will he bring us gifts from the city, Nellie? Toys and books?
There's no doubt that your father will come loaded down with gifts and presents of all sorts for you, Catherine. Land alive, you don't deserve them, pestering the life out of your nurse with foolish questions. Now come away from the window, Hindley. You'll catch your death of cold.
Here he is. And he's got something big in his arms, all wrapped around with his muffler.
You might know he'd cover our presents up just to tease. Well, Nellie, let him in.
Papa,
how good to see you.
Welcome home.
Well, and have you missed me while I was away?
Yes, oh yes. What have you brought us, Papa? Where's your bundle?
I be here, miss.
Why, what a horrid, dirty, ugly little boy. Take him away from me.
Is he to be our servant, Papa?
He is to be your brother.
He can't be our brother. He's dirty and ragged.
A hot bath and new clothes will fix him as right as ever, I'll warrant.
A hot bath can't take away his dark skin, nor his wild eyes. Look at them. They're devil's eyes.
They're gypsy's eyes. What's your name, boy?
Heathcliff.
No, I mean your first name, your Christian name.
That's all there is, miss. Heathcliff.
Now, Hindley, shake hands with your new brother.
He's not my brother. He'll never be my brother.
Pretty high and mighty with your words, aren't you? Tell me, Heathcliff, do you share a mutual dislike with your brother?
I think that someday I shall make him regret his attitude.
And how do you feel disposed toward Catherine?
I think I shall learn to love her someday.
Indeed? And what if I should not learn to love you?
Why, then, I should teach you to love me.
Yes. Young Heathcliff was better than his word. He and his foster brother, Hindley, were rivals from the very day they set eyes upon each other. But Catherine indeed came to love him. Oh, it wasn't a deep emotional love, to be sure, but more of a childish affection. The master was quite pleased that they had found each other such good companions. Indeed, I believe he fancied that someday he should live to see Catherine, his daughter, and Heathcliff, his foster son, become man and wife. Fate intervened, however, as she so often will, and Mr. Earnshaw suddenly died. Wuthering Heights and all its adjoining lands fell, by law, to young Hindley, who now had the opportunity to make Heathcliff pay heavily for the favor he had once held in the old master's eyes.
As you know, Heathcliff, I am now the master of this house and of my sister Catherine.
If you intend to throw me out, please do it without taking my time up with fancy speeches.
I have no such intentions, dear brother. All I have to say to you is this. As I consider you an unfit influence upon my sister, you will not see her henceforward no more than is necessary. Do you understand?
Hindley's sentence upon Heathcliff was the most cruel he could have bestowed, both to Catherine as well as the boy. There were no other children around, and separation would have meant hours of loneliness for both of them. Therefore, they devised many ways of meeting. Often they were found out and whipped soundly. But they would stand floggings and nights without supper for the pleasure of each other's company. Their favorite meeting place was the Moors, and I knew about it, but it was not my place to carry tales to the master. Indeed, I encouraged their meetings as much as possible, for I felt that they were entitled to some pleasures.
How sweet the air is, and how gently the wind rustles the leaves and grasses. Is there anything you would rather look upon, Heathcliff, than the moors in October?
I should rather look upon you, Kathy, than the moors, or the highlands, or anything else for that matter.
Silly, you sound lovesick.
Look into my eyes, and see if I'm lovesick.
What house is that in the distance? See?
Thrushcross Grange.
Who lives there, I wonder?
There's only one way to find out. Come on.
Where can those children be? It's way beyond their supper hour. Joseph, go again to the front porch and see. Why, Mr. Heathcliff, what's taken you so long? Mr. Hindley was home a half an hour ago. If he'd found you gone, why, where's Catherine? No accident, I hope.
She's at Thrushcross Grange with an injured ankle, and I would be there too if they had manners enough to ask me to stay.
Tell me quickly, what is it about an accident?
We were walking along the moors when Kathy saw the house. She wanted to see who lived there, so we went down. As we were looking in a window, their dog attacked Kathy and bit her ankle. Ferocious monster.
You mean to say you left Miss Catherine alone?
Mr. Linton, he's the man who lives there, heard the dog barking, and came to see what was the matter. At first he thought we were robbers, but when he saw Kathy, he recognized her and carried her inside. When I attempted to follow them, he laughed and slammed the door in my face.
How badly is she hurt?
I couldn't rightly tell, but Mr. Linton says she'll have to stay there for a few weeks until she's recovered. I only hope that none of the Lintons' proud ways rub off on her. She's haughty enough as she is.
Heathcliff's fears turned out to be well-founded. Miss Catherine was forced to spend over 5 weeks at Thrushcross Grange in the Linton household, and when she returned to Wuthering Heights, there was no pleasing her. She always did have a snobbish way with her when she wanted, but now she was worse than ever. She constantly complained that I was not at her beck and call the way young Isabella Linton, the daughter, had been. and all of the affection that she once had for Heathcliff seemed to be gone now. Her talk was full of Edgar Linton.
Heathcliff, wash your face. Edgar Linton is coming to tea. Can't you learn better manners, Heathcliff? Try to be more like Edgar Linton. Try to be more like Edgar Linton. Try to be more like Edgar Linton.
Poor Heathcliff. At last, Catherine's torments and attentions to her new friend became too much for him. Heathcliff loves Kathy as much as he was capable of loving anyone. And so, one day, he swallowed his pride and turned to me to help him win her back.
Nellie, make me decent. I'm going to be good.
High time, Heathcliff. You have grieved Catherine with your rough behavior. She's so sorry she ever came home, I dare say.
How do you mean, grieved?
She cried when I told her that you had left the house early this morning without bidding her a civil good day.
I had more reason to cry than she. What with her devoting all of her time to the handsome gentleman of hers, Edgar Linton.
A gentleman? Oh, yes, Edgar Linton is a gentleman, but not handsome. Why, you're taller than he is, and twice as broad across the shoulders. You could knock him down in a twinkling if you wished.
If I knocked him down 20 times a day, that wouldn't make him less handsome, or me more so. Oh, how I wish I were like him.
What? And be so sickly and so minimy-pinimy? Why, what poor spirit, Heathcliff.
Still and all, I wish you to make me more acceptable to Kathy.
However, try as Heathcliff would, he simply could not learn the affected ways of a gentleman. And so, as the weeks rolled by, he saw less and less of his beloved Catherine, while she saw more and more of her beloved Edgar. One evening, several months later, Catherine approached me in the kitchen. A terrible rainstorm had arisen from the west, and young Mr. Linton had been forced to leave Wuthering Heights earlier than usual. I looked up and saw, to my surprise, that Kathy was distressed.
Are you alone, Nellie?
Yes, miss.
Where's Heathcliff?
About his work in the stable, I imagine.
Nellie, will you keep a secret for me?
Yes, if it's worth keeping.
Edgar Linton has asked me to marry him, and I've given him my answer. Now, before I tell you whether it was a consent or a refusal, you tell me which it ought to have been.
Really, Miss Catherine? How can I know? It must lie within your own heart to judge.
I accepted him, Nellie. Be quick and say whether I was wrong.
You have accepted him. What good is it discussing the matter? You have given your word, and it cannot be retracted.
But do you think I have made a wise decision? Tell me honestly, I pray you.
Do you love Mr. Edgar?
Yes, of course I do.
Why?
Because he is handsome and gay and clever and intelligent.
And do you love Mr. Heathcliff?
I don't know. I think I do. I think I love him more than life itself. But I can't be sure. When I look into his wild, glittering eyes, I can't decide whether he be man or devil. I'm miserable in his company and tortured out of it.
I should say that you love Mr. Heathcliff more than you will ever love Mr. Edgar. He is the man that you should wed.
I could never marry Heathcliff. Not if he were the last man alive. He is illiterate. He is unmannerly. He is everything and anything but a gentleman.
You are a foolish girl, Catherine, to weigh a man's worth by his education.
I can't help the way I feel, Nellie. I can never really love Heathcliff. What was that?
The door slammed. That was all. Someone left the house.
Quick, Nellie, fly to the window. Tell me if it's...
Yes, miss. It is Heathcliff. He must have been in the pantry all the while.
Oh, then he heard. Oh, what shall I do? What shall I do?
Run after him, child, quickly.
Heathcliff! Heathcliff! Heathcliff!
There, there, miss. Lie still. You're burning up with the fever. And no wonder, running in and out of the storm half the night with no coat on your back.
Heathcliff.
And it's no use calling for Mr. Heathcliff either. He's gone. Gone from Wuthering Heights. It was not long after that Miss Catherine was up and around again, though the good doctor predicted that she would never regain her hearty air. But she would remain sickly and frail for the rest of what was sure to be a short life. As soon as she was well enough, she and Edgar Linton were married in the little chapel outside of Gimmerton. As Catherine's personal servant, I accompanied them to the Linton home, Thrushcross Grange. Edgar was devoted to his new bride, and she to him, and with his sister Isabella, they made a charming family. Heathcliff had never been found, nor was word ever received from him. Somehow it came into my head that he must have booked passage to the Americas. Be that as it may, soon even the memory of him disappeared. One night, about 3 years later, I heard a knock at the kitchen door. Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Nellie, is it my old nurse, Nellie Dean? What? You don't recognize me? Look, I am not a stranger.
Why, bless my soul alive. Mr. Heathcliff, is it really you come back?
Yes, it's really I.
But how you're altered, sir.
Altered? For the better or for worse?
You're quite the gentleman now.
But for all my fine looks and rich clothes, you aren't glad to see me, are you, Nellie? Tell me, why?
Miss Catherine has been ill, very ill. The shock of your return, why, well, perhaps if you were to come back tomorrow, I could warn her.
No, I must see her tonight. Go and tell her I'm here. Say that some person from Gimmerton wishes to see her.
Very well, Mr. Heathcliff, but I don't know how she'll take it.
Never you mind. You'll have better need to wonder how I'll take it.
Come in, Mrs. Dean.
Miss Catherine?
Yes, Nellie, what is it?
It's a person from Gimmerton who wishes to see you.
Is it someone I know? What does he want?
I didn't question him, miss.
Well, close the curtains and pour the tea. It's still on the sideboard where you left it. I'll go down and see what he wants. Don't wait for me, Edgar. Your tea will be cold. Drink it while it's hot. I'll be right back.
I wonder who it can be. Catherine never has callers. Do you happen to know the man, Mrs. Dean?
Yes, Mr. Linton. It's Mr. Heathcliff.
What? The gypsy. The plowboy. Why did you not say so to Catherine?
You mustn't call him by those names anymore, sir. He's a gentleman now. Why, I didn't recognize him myself. Besides, Miss Catherine will be sadly grieved to hear him called so. She was nearly heartbroken when he ran off.
Don't stand in the kitchen, love. Bring the person in. If it be anyone particular.
Oh, Edgar, Edgar, darling, Heathcliff's come back to me. He has. Oh, he has.
Well, my dear, don't get so excited about it. It's not good for you. Besides, he never struck me as such a marvelous treasure.
I know you didn't like him, yet for my sake you must be friends. Shall I tell him to come up?
Here? Into the parlor?
Where else? I cannot sit in the kitchen. It's so cold. It's here he must come, and Catherine will have her way.
Very well, Nellie. Bid him come in, and Catherine, try to be glad without being absurd. The whole household needs not witness the sight of your welcoming a runaway servant as a brother.
After I ushered Mr. Heathcliff into the parlor, I left. And so I can relate nothing of the visit until much later, when I was called in to clear the tea things. Evidently, a great many harsh words had been spoken, for the atmosphere was far from peaceful, and none of the tea or sandwiches had been tasted. I gathered that Mr. Heathcliff had somehow insulted Isabella Linton, and that her brother was trying to make amends for the slander. As I entered the room, he turned to Heathcliff, white with rage, and said between clenched teeth,
"So far I've been forbearing with you, sir. Not that I was ignorant of your miserable, degraded character, but I felt you were only partly responsible for that. Because Catherine so wished to renew our friendship better left dead, I consented to your coming into this room and into our lives. I realize now that your presence is a moral poison that would contaminate the most virtuous. And for that I shall deny you further admission into this house, and give notice now that I require your instant departure."
Kathy, this lamb of yours threatens like a bull. He is in danger of splitting his skull against my knuckles. By heaven, Mr. Linton, I'm mortally sorry that you aren't worth knocking down.
Forgive me, but ere my temper gets the better of me, I ought to retire. I'm going to my room.
Husband, or rather coward, if you have not the courage to attack him, make an apology, or allow yourself to be beaten. It will correct you of feigning more power than you possess. After constant indulgence of your weak nature and Heathcliff's bad, I earned this pretty scene as gratitude.
Catherine!
Don't speak to me. Your type is not a lamb, but whining babe.
I wish you joy of the milk-blooded coward, Kathy. I compliment you on your taste. And that is the slavering, shivering thing you preferred to me. I would not strike him with my fist, but I'd kick him with my foot, and experience considerable satisfaction from it.
You are no better on one hand than he is on the other. I ask you now to go. You should never have come. And if any love that you once had for me is still alive, let it take you back to wherever you came from, and let it keep you there. I almost think you've come from, and are returning to, the grave.
May I never live through a scene as ugly as that again in my life. The effect it had on me was one of horror. You can well imagine its effect on Miss Catherine. She locked herself in her room and would neither come out nor allow food to be passed into her. On the evening of the first day of her self-imposed exile, Mr. Linton went to her room and spoke to her through the closed door.
You need have no fear of my forcing the door, Catherine. Indeed, I shall not speak with you for more than a few minutes. I am neither come to wrangle nor be reconciled. I wish just to learn whether or not you intend to continue your intimacy with...
Oh, for mercy's sake, let us hear no more of it now. Your blood cannot be worked into a fever. Your veins are full of ice water. But mine are boiling, and the thought of such chilliness as yours makes them dance.
If I am to depart, answer my question. You must answer it, and your extreme action does not alarm me. Will you give up Heathcliff hereafter, or will you give me up? It is impossible to be my friend and his at the same time, and I absolutely require to know which you choose.
And I require to be alone.
Miss Catherine certainly received what she requested. For 3 days her door remained barred against husband and servants alike. When at last she did open the door, it was to me. And how shocking she looked. Her fast had aged her 30 years, and she was in a delirious state. Upon looking into the glass, she didn't recognize herself, and was continually seeing faces upon the walls.
Who is that by the window, Nellie? Who is it, I ask?
There's no one in the room but you and me.
There it is, against the wall, as it always is.
You're talking in your sleep, miss. Lie down and rest.
There again. That face in the glass, who is it?
It was yourself, Miss Catherine. You knew it a while since.
Myself? And the clock is striking 12. It's true. Oh, mercy, I'm not at home. I dreamed I was in my stuffy chamber at the Heights once again. Open the casements, Nellie. Let in the wind.
Whatever you wish, Miss Catherine.
The air is clear. Help me to the window. Heathcliff? Heathcliff?
Hush, Miss Catherine. Mr. Linton is coming. Lie down again, do.
The wind comes straight down the moors. It smells of pine needles and fir boughs and wild heather.
Come away from the window, Catherine. I have sent one of the servants for a doctor. He'll be here directly.
You are come, Edgar. You are one of those things that are ever found when least wanted, and when you are wanted, never.
Catherine, what have you done? Am I nothing to you anymore? Do you love that wretch, Heathcliff?
I love no one. I long only for my grave.
Don't listen to her, Mr. Linton. She doesn't know what she's saying. Her mind wanders.
I desire no advice from you, Mrs. Dean. The doctor will be here at any moment. Go down to the door and wait for his arrival.
doctor's verdict was cruel. There was little hope of Miss Catherine's recovering health or sanity. And it was a pity indeed, for in little more than a half year, she would have borne her husband a child. From that day on, Mr. Linton became his wife's constant nurse and companion. Although her health was now irretrievably gone, her mind did return. But for the most part, her thoughts lay elsewhere. Week after week went by with no marked change in her condition. Then one day I met Mr. Heathcliff. He asked me to tell Catherine that he wanted to see her when she felt able to receive visitors. I did not deliver his message, though, for fear of its effects on my mistress, and because of my procrastination, Mr. Heathcliff took matters into his own hands. One Sunday, while Mr. Linton was in Gimmerton attending service, Heathcliff entered the house unannounced and went directly to her bedside. For a moment, they stared silently, and then she was in his arms.
Oh, Kathy. Oh, my life. How can I bear it?
You should never have come back, Heathcliff. You and Edgar have broken my heart, and now you return to kill me. How strong you are yet. How many years do you intend to live on after I am gone?
Don't die, Kathy. Don't die. Not yet.
I wish I could hold you till we were both dead. I shouldn't care what you suffered. I care nothing for your suffering. Will you forget me, Heathcliff? Will you point to my grave and say, "There lies Catherine Linton. I loved her once, but it's all over, all past." Will you say so, Heathcliff?
Don't torture me till I am mad as yourself. I have not broken your heart. You have broken it yourself, and in so doing you have broken mine. I envy you, Kathy, that you are able to die. It is a cursed thing to be strong. Do you think I want to live? What kind of living will it be when you... Kathy, how will I live when my soul lies interred in your grave?
Let me alone. Let me alone. If I have done wrong, I'm dying for it. It is enough. You left me, too. But I won't upbraid you for it. I forgive you. Forgive me.
It's hard to forgive and to look at those eyes. I forgive what you have done.
Remember me, Heathcliff. Remember me.
Kiss me again, Kathy. Your husband will return. I must go.
You must not go. Don't. It is the last time. Edgar will forgive this time. Heathcliff, I shall die. I shall die.
If you die, then haunt me, Kathy. I can stand torment for all of my days, but I can't stand loneliness an hour. Your soul will not rest, Kathy, until mine is joined with it. Till that time, haunt me every moment of my life. Torture me. Torment me. But be with me always, as I have been with you.
Within an hour, my mistress was dead. She was buried in the chapel graveyard, beneath the moorlands that she loved so well. Mr. Linton persisted that her soul went to heaven. The gossips of the village owned that it belonged to the devil. But I had been with her when she died, and I know that it returned to her childhood home, Wuthering Heights.
And so ends Emily Bronte's classic story, Wuthering Heights. Heard on today's broadcast were...
Catherine Earnshaw was played by Marianne Moran.
Nellie Dean by Carol McDaniel.
Hindley Earnshaw was played by John D. Cook.
Papa Earnshaw by John H. B. Kause.
Heathcliff by Mark Lauderman.
Edgar Linton was portrayed by Gary Kreska.
Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights was adapted for radio by Louis Olson and was directed by John H.B. Kause. The WETL Radio Players was produced by Jerry Limbert. Gary Kreska was the assistant to producer. Wuthering Heights was recorded in the studios of WETL South Bend, Indiana. This is your announcer, Stan Hernandez, speaking.